Dan, welcome in.
News Talk 970 WMAY, Bishop on air. In my daytime deal after I get out of here, I go over and I work with the Illinois News Network and cover the state and General Assembly. And I tell you what, I had a colleague say, you know, recently it seems like we're watching the same bad movie for 6 hours every day and then having to write book reports about it. And you know what? I mean, to be honest, that's kind of how it feels. But anyways, my work with the Illinois News Network, of course, keeps me plugged in to seeing what's going on in the state of Illinois. And one thing that that has been going on in the state of Illinois is this back and forth between a conversation of out-migration and what's the real cause of that out-migration. Now, somebody who's been out front in reporting on this out-migration, the director of Jobs and Growth for the Illinois Policy Institute. And full disclosure, the Illinois News Network is a service of the Illinois Policy Institute. But joining us right now, Michael Lucci, the director of Jobs and Growth. Michael, you've been keeping an eye on these numbers for at least, what, like 6 months to a year? If not longer.
Yes, and Illinois Policy Institute's been looking at migration for a while, and I actually remember breaking the story on your show back in December about how Illinois had a record year of out-migration from 2013 to 2014, and we're seeing what that means in terms of renting a truck to leave Illinois and in terms of what's happening to Illinois cities. But I remember that about 6 months ago, we talked on air, and it was the first time that we had spoken publicly about how Illinois had an all-time record loss of 95,000 people to other states. So that's when you take the people who leave Illinois and then you count the people who enter Illinois, on net, we lost 95,000 people to other states last year.
Now, these aren't numbers that you're just pulling out of thin air for, you know, various reasons. No, these are like official numbers from a variety of different locations. Tell me where you're getting this this data.
This data, the leading data, is from the United States Census Bureau, so it is from our own government. And supporting data comes from the IRS, our good friends at the IRS.
Right.
Because what they do is they see where you filed taxes this year, and as we all know, they're very keen to make sure we file taxes next year, and they see where you filed taxes next year. So if you filed this year in Illinois and then you file next year in Indiana, they report that as a migratory move from the state of Illinois to the state of Indiana.
Michael Lucci joins us, the Illinois Policy Institute's Director of Jobs and Growth. So compared to other states, and in particular other states that surround Illinois, how do we shape out with the out-migration issue?
Well, we lose people to all surrounding states. And again, by that I mean the net exchange. When you count the people who go to Indiana, and then you count the people that come from Indiana to Illinois, we have a loss on that trade-off in terms of people and also in terms of income. So on all of these trades we make, we lose people, and we actually lose slightly higher income earners to the other states also. So it's not a good trade. It's not we're sending a revenue stream and a tax stream to other states surrounding us, and ultimately to 49 of the other 50 states in the United States. We're losing people and we're losing income to those places.
Now, I want to talk about cities in particular coming up, but we've already addressed where you're getting some of the numbers here from the Census Bureau, from the Internal Revenue Service, but also we get moving companies from time to time releasing pretty fascinating reports, and U-Haul just released a report not too long ago.
That's right. They released a report that said whether the top one-way destination cities, and Chicago actually came in at number two, which might not make sense when you realize that people are leaving Chicago on net. But what they were looking at, and there was not necessarily any political bias in there, they were just saying, what are the one-way destination cities? If you count all of the one-way moves, Chicago came in at second, Houston was first. What that report did not look at is how many people are then moving one way out of Chicago. And so we thought that that was an interesting story, and it's something that we'd already looked at because last year we were just playing around and pricing U-Haul trucks. So saying we wanted to rent a U-Haul truck for a one-way move from Chicago to, say, Austin, Texas, and then price that same truck coming in the opposite direction from Austin, Texas up to Chicago. And the results were very startling. It costs more than four times as much to rent a one-way truck from Chicago to Austin as it did to run the same route in the opposite direction from Austin to Chicago. The reason is because there's demand to leave Chicago to head to places like Texas. So that comes out in the prices. So you drive the same truck, the same number of miles, but you do it to leave Chicago, it's going to be really expensive because a bunch of other people are trying to rent that same truck to move from Chicago to Texas.
So, yeah, you're talking about how the cost of taking a truck from Chicago to other larger areas like Houston, for instance, it costs more because more people are demanding that they get a U-Haul truck out of Chicago. So that's not something that U-Haul actually worked into their report that they released not too long ago.
That's right. They were just saying one-way moves, where are a lot of them going to? They weren't looking at the net exchanges. So take it, for example, like this. Say there were 20,000 one-way moves to Chicago. That might make us second place for most one-way moves into the city. However, if there are 30,000 one-way moves out of Chicago, that is not a good trade-off. That's not what we want. So, and that's basically what we're getting. We're getting a bunch of one-way moves into Chicago for sure, but there are far more of them making one-way moves out of Chicago to some of these places that have, say, better job growth, a better business environment, and, for sure, a better weather climate there also. But that's not the big driver of what's making people move.
Let's talk more about cities in particular, because another post that you guys have with the Illinois Policy Institute, talking with Michael Lucci, the Director of Jobs and Growth, you break down a whole bunch of different Illinois cities. And Chicago looks like the 2013-2014 population change was 82. You would want to have more growth than that, I would imagine. But that's not the only number here that that sticks out. We've got some cities that just have not done well at all. Real quick, Springfield lost 204 people. But if you look at, say, for instance, Rockford, it's just not looking pretty for some of these cities.
Right. And what's really startling about this is that when you realize that population grows naturally because we have more births than we do deaths, and population in the United States grows for very good reasons in actually all 50 states because we have people immigrating from other countries who want to become Americans, and that's a very good thing. So we have those two big, powerful forces driving up our population. But then for the cities in Illinois, their populations are actually shrinking despite the natural growth, despite the immigration gains. Our population is shrinking because so many Illinoisans are packing up and leaving these cities to go to other states. So when you say that Springfield, their population shrank by about 200, that's true, but it actually understates the problem because Springfield has natural population growth that is offset by so many people packing up and getting out of the city.
And it really does speak to, you know, the question, why? Why are people moving? Michael, can you stay with me for about another 5 to 10 minutes?
Absolutely.
All right, because I want to take a break and then come back and talk about some of the reasons why you think Illinois and these various cities are losing population. So stay tuned. Michael Lucci, the Director of Jobs and Growth for the Illinois Policy Institute, with Bishop on Air, News Talk 970 WMAY. All right, welcome back. Bishop on Air, News Talk 970 WMAY. I'm talking with Michael Lucci, the Director of Jobs and Growth at the Illinois Policy Institute. And Illinois seems to be hemorrhaging jobs. It's not just the entire state, it's various areas of the state, like, for instance, Decatur. Michael, tell me about Decatur in particular, because they seem to be at the bottom of this list of cities in Illinois that are having some population problems.
Absolutely. I was actually in Decatur yesterday, and I'll tell you, like, the leaders there are fighting to make Decatur a better place, to take care of their own problems, but they face massive headwinds. The headwinds I'm most concerned about are the problems coming out of Springfield. So, as you referenced, Decatur actually just came in third from last on a national list of city growth. So out of 750 cities, Decatur was third to last on population growth in the entire United States for cities of this size. And it's because they're facing the worst industrial policies in the Midwest. It's an industrial city that was built on the blue-collar jobs, Archer Daniel Midland, Tate and Lyle, the Staley companies back then. It was built on the blue-collar jobs, the Caterpillars, and those are the companies that are hardest hit by policies in the state of Illinois. And everywhere I went there, the people said a number of things, but the one thing you heard everywhere, workers' compensation is driving people out of this state. The workers' compensation system in Illinois is so bad that these manufacturers are being forced to locate elsewhere just because of that one thing. Before you talk about anything else, they won't locate here because we have such a terrible workers' compensation system. There are other problems too, but that was such a big highlight that they talked about in Decatur. And they have to deal with the fact that they have these terrible policies that are making them one of the slowest growing cities in America.
Yeah, and the workers' compensation issue was addressed by lawmakers in Springfield. And I say addressed because even the Illinois Manufacturers Association and the Chamber of Commerce, they said you can't even really call this reform. The measures that they implemented in the House, and it's going to be kicked over to the Senate, it essentially codifies the status quo. I don't know if that helps. It also creates another task force to look into savings from a 2011 reform measure. And another piece of the puzzle that they passed in the House was essentially allowing for employers to investigate previous employment for an injured employee, but that's expected to increase litigation. So, again, it doesn't seem like lawmakers are really understanding what the true problems with workers' compensation are. Michael Lucci, what are the problems with workers' compensation in the state?
Well, the big problem is that we don't have a standard of causation. So what that basically means is if a worker has an injury on the job and the job is 1% responsible for that injury, the employer has to pay 100% of the costs. So say someone had a softball injury on the weekend and they come into work and, you know, part of their job aggravates that softball injury even just a little bit. The employer is now on the hook for all of the costs of that injury. So we don't have what's called a causation standard. But if you want to look at it at a broader perspective, in the perspective of politics and the perspective of Springfield and the people who passed the sham legislation you just referred to, the problem is that we have a system that maximizes the benefits to trial lawyers and minimizes the benefits to both workers and employers. So we have a system where trial lawyers are able to treat businesses like piñatas and constantly hit them up for rewards that they're able to pull out of this very messy system. And meanwhile, these businesses are saying, look, I got to get out of here just to stay in business. I got to go to Indiana. And these workers are being left behind because they're just being left without a job and being left without good benefits because employers don't want to hire workers in Illinois. So we have a system that's rigged to the benefit of the trial lawyers who support our speaker and support legislative leaders in Illinois, and it's at the expense of good-paying, blue-collar, middle-class jobs and the industries, the Caterpillars, the ADMs that we grew here but are now being forced to grow elsewhere if they want to stay in business.
Michael Lucci, the Director of Jobs and Growth at the Illinois Policy Institute, talking about some of the reasons why businesses are leaving the state and with those businesses, population. Because, of course, people are going to want to go where they've got employment. And Illinois seems to be a hemorrhaging population, and that seems to be a result of businesses not being able to find a friendly climate in Illinois. Something else too, and Michael, I'm going to play a clip from yesterday, Governor Bruce Rauner talking about some of the things that he wants local communities to have more control over, and this is from yesterday at the governor's mansion.
What gets bid? How is competitive bidding done? What are the costs inside their local government? The governments belong to the local voters and the taxpayers. They don't belong to the special interest groups that work for the government or that are inside government. The governments have got to be responsive and owned by local voters and local taxpayers. That's what our bill does.
And he's talking about his version of a property tax freeze that would include provisions of allowing local communities to have more control over prevailing wage. You know, prevailing wage and these types of agreements, they're not just for government workers. They're also for contractors, private contractors that get hired on by the government. Is this something else that just increases costs in general for not just the government, but also maybe for another a developer looking to develop, say, downtown Springfield, a housing development, for instance?
This massively increased cost. So let me give you some examples of what prevailing wage does for construction projects. prevailing wage is applied to any construction project that receives any public funding. And that's a lot of construction, because a lot of construction is a matter of infrastructure. But in the prevailing wage, think of it as a minimum wage for construction workers. However, this minimum wage is in the six figures for construction workers. So we looked at this at the Illinois Policy Institute. If you're a sprinkler fitter, your annual salary and benefits under prevailing wage, $150,000. If you're a fence erector, $155,000. If you're a carpenter, $145,000 per year. If you're a truck driver, $91,000 per year. A painter, $125,000 per year. So where in the world can a painter get $125,000 a year to paint the side of a house other than in Illinois under prevailing wage? The result of this, the result of this is that we have the best paid construction workers in the entire United States. And meanwhile, we have the worst paid manufacturing workers in the entire Midwest, because the manufacturers and the manufacturing workers have to pay those huge property taxes, which then go to these lavish prevailing wage salaries and benefits. So we're, it's a really unfair system where we're subsidizing construction workers with six-figure incomes, and meanwhile we have manufacturing workers who are the worst paid in the entire Midwest because we have such an unfriendly business climate here.
Michael Lucci, Director of Jobs and Growth for the Illinois Policy Institute, looking at this prevailing wage deal makes me reconsider why I chose to get into radio. Sprinkler fitter for $146,000, holy cow! All right. I appreciate your time, as always, and we'll definitely check back in to get updates on jobs and growth here in Illinois. Michael Lucci, Illinois Policy Institute. Have a great day, man.
Thanks for having me.